Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Rob Iannelli, who is the co-founder of Tab. Thanks for joining me today, Rob.
Great. Thanks, Karen.
So Tab, if I were to characterize Tab, your motto is the connected customer should have the ability to spend together. He who shop together should be able to spend together, and you make that a little easier with your payments innovation. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So the basic tenet of what we've built is on top of that belief where we should all be able to transact together, no differently than how we can share photos together or status updates or tweets or Snapchats. We looked at payments and realized there really wasn't a true social technology that could make, you know, group purchasing and collective buying power a lot more viable.
So what are the use cases for group payments?
I think what most people immediately think of is the dinner scenario, you know, five people at a dinner table, and that's there, and that will always be sort of prevalent and relevant. But we started to think more alongside the sharing economy. There's a number of incumbent mobile wallet providers now, and we started to realize that whether it's a bachelor party or four roommates in college or a group of coworkers, you know, running out to get coffee for everyone, we're all trying to transact together, but we're forced to do it with, you know, individual payment methods and at many times pay individually with merchants. And it just makes a really terrible experience for the merchant, but also for the consumer. So we wanted to build a technology that alleviated pain on both sides, but at the same time made the whole process a lot more enjoyable.
Is that a big enough market to make an innovation worthwhile and scalable?
That's probably the biggest question that, you know, comes up for us. We're very bullish on the fact that connected commerce is very much the future, especially with the younger millennial demographic who are participating in the sharing economy, whether it's four people going in on a Zipcar or using Airbnb or purchasing flights and traveling together. I think most importantly, the platform and really sort of the vision has still to be very proven. But based on our current traction and some of the first customers we're bringing on, I'll probably have a much different input on that a year from now with a lot of the results we get from these pilot programs.
So we first met each other at the Innovation Project 2014, so it's been about a year. Mm-hmm. What have you learned in the last year? What have you done differently, and what have you doubled down on and just continued to stay the course?
Yeah. So since we were last at the project, we were pretty focused on an integration directly with MasterCard that would put us into an array of different financial institutions. And what we found was that, you know, selling into banks or, mind you, selling into a single card network is very time consuming. It takes up a lot of your resources. And we're still a relatively small team of two. So what we did, we actually were suggested to apply to Startup Bootcamp FinTech, which is a FinTech accelerator in London. And we were accepted into their inaugural class. So we packed up our bags and moved to London for 4 months last year, starting in August.
Wow.
And throughout that process, yeah. So that was a great sort of accomplishment. We got a little bit of funding, and we were sort of injected into a great ecosystem in the London fintech market. But even then, you know, there was multiple banks that were involved in the program, and the challenges still sort of were there. Is they're large institutions, there's a lot of data privacy concerns, and they're not as nimble as, you know, a small startup. So we left the program realizing that, you know, the infrastructure that we've built is very valuable. And that's sort of what has sort of risen to the top that we're doubling down on is our back-end infrastructure API, which is already going to be getting used by a mobile wallet provider in the Netherlands. So that was something I never would have expected occurring a year ago, sitting in Boston at the payments conference in 2014. But that's been exciting. And now that we're back, we're in negotiations with a bank in Boston to do a very similar back-end implementation to to let them offer our technology to their customers.
Well, it's interesting because, as discussed, payments is such a scale business, and scaling on the consumer side can be very expensive, acquiring consumers, and then if merchants have to do something in order to enable the TAB payment method, then you have that to deal with, and merchants have an awful lot on their plate. So without a lot of consumers, they often reprioritize young innovators down to the bottom of their list. So I think creating a B2B focus instead of a B2C focus will probably allow you to scale much faster because you're going through a distribution channel that already has access to the consumers that you need.
Yes, exactly. You know, and part of the play with this smaller bank in Boston is we're going to be utilizing a piece of FIS technology that would provide us the total transaction of your recent charge. So if you go to Starbucks and you make a payment for, you know, $9.82, our servers can be automatically notified. And then we reconcile against, you know, let's say who is Karen connected with for this transaction. And at that point, our relational database goes through and our servers and systems start to collect funds and push that back to your card. So closing that loop out is very exciting for us. And, you know, it's taken a long time. So I know Paul, my co-founder, and I, we've been at this for almost 2 years and everlasting learning curve. But
yeah, no, it's finally seen the light. It's like dog years, especially in the payments world, because things do have a tendency to move slowly, and it's such a complicated ecosystem. I'm curious as to whether or not the application of group payments, you mentioned, you know, things that are much more attributable to a younger consumer, you know, bachelor parties, Airbnb, you know, vacations, sorts of things. But what about group gifting? You can imagine wedding presents, anniversary presents, sending your parents on a cruise and having your family chip in. Are those use cases that you've considered?
Yes, very much. You know, we try and stay in scope, you know, for a millennial, but as we look to a larger segment, those examples are perfect, as well as even from a charitable perspective of, let's say, 20 to 30 people could be micro paying towards the transaction, whether it's a college student who has some relatives that want to chip in on certain transactions to, you know, looking at some different organizations, whether it's, you know, Oxfam or other ways where you could provide, you know, a general repurpose local card and, you know, thousands of people could be contributing towards each transaction. I think that's where we haven't really unearthed the true potential. And that's what gets really exciting for me. My background was in international relations and development. So I think there's a lot of interesting things to do with it.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, when you think about the utility of a group payment scenario and you start to think more broadly than just splitting a dinner check, which is what everyone says when they define group payments, you know, there are some interesting things. And, you know, selfishly as a consumer, we've all been in situations where you've been assigned the responsibility of going out and buying the present for the coworker, the mother, the father, the brother getting married. And there's always that relative that never pays you back. So this solves for that.
Very much so. Because at the end of the day, like, we look at P2P payments, as that concept has been around since in medieval times. It's just an IOU. And what we found is, you know, sending money works. Like, that system is not broken. If I need to send you money, I can use a number of different platforms to do that. But there's really no one out there that's actually splitting and sending. And that's really where we see our technology at the forefront, is we're dealing with real transactional numbers where you don't have to input the amount from the receipt and do the math in your head and send separate, you know, requests to your friends. We're really trying to make this more of an Uber-like experience where you can connect. In an Uber-like experience, you're able to, you know, connect socially with your friends using your Facebook Connect or text message or your contact list. And then, you know, you could pay for a meal or, you know, a gift for your bunch of siblings, buying a gift for their parents for their anniversary. And we take care of a lot of the back and forth that normally would occur.
Interesting. Now, have you patented what you've built?
we filed a number of patents. So while we were at Mass Challenge 2013, we were one of the few startups that was selected by Fish and Richardson to do some IP work for us. So that's all pending, fingers crossed, as you can imagine. But you know, so far, so good.
Well, that's awesome. Well, listen, it's been great to get caught up, Rob. It sounds like there's a lot of interesting runway ahead, and we look forward to staying in touch. Thanks for the opportunity to get reacquainted.
Excellent. Thanks again, Karen.